in terms of Suda. So we pointed out that the Iker Adin in the Torah, not only does it have to be red in order to be problematic, it has to be a very specific shade of red. Reading the days of Amorim, it was difficult to discern between different shades of red, and therefore the Rishonim write, the Rosh Kos, and the Gaon, the tradition, that we no longer amatu any reds. Anything that has to be called notal at whom, if it has any resemblance of red, is considered to be at least be suffering a problem with matter there. Nevertheless, there are also colors that don't even fall into the category of red. We spoke about a big machlokes, so we showed about yellow. Is yellow, the Dam Yarok that the Gemara was referring to, it's not considered to be a problem of red at all. That was most of the poskim. There was a minority view in the Rishonim, the later poskim, that maintained that yellow may still be a problem, may still be too close for comfort. And we saw there were different nuances and different opinions how to follow that, and many follow the straightforward Pesach, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah. The yellow is outright permissible. When we spoke about the browns, we said that the tradition, the brown is also permissible color. Not everyone agreed to that. We generally assume, as Baruch said, that the brown is a permissible color. The only thing is with browns is that you have to be very, very careful with brown, because browns are also sometimes denoted by rubus. It's even more difficult to discern than the yellows. Browns very often do have a little bit of a reddish tint to them, and those types of browns would be a problem. There's one other color I want to speak about before we move on to the next sugya, and that's on the 12th page of the Marukamos. So there is a comment by Rav Vosna, top of the Marukamos 7, the Shirushim to Levi. Rav Vosna's Shirushim and Chusnida. So Rav Vosna has in his last paragraph something very, very important, Ha'ara Halacha Maisa. The ode, the Yesh B'teva Ma'aros, the Ma'aratuv, Yesh B'teva Tiyala Varod, very often a marav is looked at when it's wet and it just comes out, so it will have a pinkish look to it. Varos, it's pink. It'll start to be noted a little bit to pink. It's not red mamish, but it's pinkish. And then when it dries up, so it comes more of a whitish, more of a beigeish kind of a color. Very often a woman should bring the mara, so she'll say, well, when I saw it a few hours ago, it was red. Under these circumstances, if the Rav looks at it, and to him it looks like it's white, so that means it wasn't really a pink. It wasn't a type of pink that really lasted. If it's really pink, namely if it stands the test of time, it remains pink even after it dries, that's a problematic color. This is a very, very common in Shiloh, that a woman will bring a Shiloh, she'll say, the parents are serving the Shiloh, because now it looks like it's really pink. But yesterday it was a problem. So we'll ask her, what does it mean yesterday was a problem? If she says, well, it was red yesterday, well, so, and then you have to ask her. But that's usually not what happens. She says that it happens, a pinkish tink to it, and lo and behold, I don't see it anymore. So it happens all the time. When it dries, so it loses that little bit of a pinkish look.
Is there an achrayas for her to bring whatever she sees within a certain time frame? I mean, how do you, like, how do
okay,
you
so, so it's not... I would say, it's a good idea to bring things as sooner rather than later. Not only because things do tend to fade a little bit with the time, but because the longer you keep virus around, the more likely that something's going to get lost, which we'll have to talk about later. What do you do with lost particular cloths? Now you don't even remember what the color was. And also, I've had sometimes people have sent me, the woman's on the way to the mikvah, and she brings me 14 particular cloths from the last week. So sometimes she doesn't remember what's what, so it's not marked properly. And sometimes it's a lot of pressure on the roof. Sometimes we're going to talk a little bit about later today about the weather. Namely, if it's not so sunny outside, so it's much harder to look at bedikas, but if it's not sunny, so she'll bring it to me at night. She's on the weather, maybe she'll bring me the showers at night, which are also problematic to look at. So it's a good idea. I'm not saying you have to get the bedikas within 10 minutes, but it's a good idea to get it there fairly quickly. So again, so in terms of just the wrapping up of the general colors that we're looking at, so if it's a red, it's a problem. If it's a real serious pink that actually left, then it's going to be a problem. If it's whitish, obviously it's permissible. Yellow will make a lot, brown will make a lot. So anything that's somewhere in the middle in terms of nota, lad mumis, so then the Rav has to decide whether that meets the criteria of nota mumis or not. Now we move on to the next topic, on page 12 of the Marukamos. It says CD 9, Chachmur Adam. Now we're going to discuss the ramifications of who exactly is supposed to be looking at the maros, and what are some of the guidelines that the Rav is supposed to use when he looks at maros. So the Gemara tells a strange story. The first in the Ramakamos, needed that chaf on the base, at the very end of the first line. Yalta was the wife of Rav Nachman. Yalta Aisa Doma L'Kameh de Rabbi Bar Bachana. So she brought a shayla to Rabbi Bar Bachana to look at. V'tamila, and Rabbi Bar Bachana paskin that it was also. Hodar Aisa L'Kameh de Vitzach Breid Rabbi Yehuda. She brought the same shayla again, which first glance out, that's a no-no. Told the Gemara's going to talk about it in a minute. But she went ahead and she brought the same shayla over again to Rabbi Yitzchak, the son of Rabbi Yehuda. V'dochima, and he was matarim, he was matarim. The Gemara asks, "Hechi Avid Hachi? You're not supposed to do that." V'atayim, we learned in the Brayse, "Chacham Shetimei, Ein Chaver Rashav Tahir." That if one Chacham already paskin that something is Tamei, so the next Chacham is not supposed to be Mitarim. Osar, if Chacham prohibited something, not necessarily in the realm of Hilchos Nida and any other area of Halacha, Ein Chaver Rashav Hat, not supposed to go shopping around for Pesachim. So what was going on? So the Gemara says, "Meikarat V'yahav Mitamila." That originally the psak was that it was tamei, but then yalta chap, there was something wrong with the original psak. Came into amala called the chol yomav imdachali kiyagavna for idnu dechash ve'enei dachila. So she had gone to Rabbi Bachana for psak, and Rabbi Bachana said it was also. When she went to Rabbi Yitzchak, so Rabbi Yitzchak also was noted to be mitamei right away. But then she explained to him, no, I've seen this shayla before. She said, I've shown this to the Rav before. And he said, in the past, he said that it was tahor. So Rav Yitzchak took a second look at it. Rav Yitzchak said, you know, at first when I told Rav Yitzchak that Rav Bechara was metamei, he didn't even bother looking at it so carefully. Then he looked at it and he says, Yalta's right. The Taka, it's really tahor. And it must be that Rav Bechara didn't look at it well. It must be that his eyes had been bothering him. It must be that he hadn't had a good look at it. Because Rav Yitzchak himself held that it was mutter. The only reason why he was willing to be mitamei because he thought that the previous Rav Bachana be mitamei. Once Yalta explained that she suspected that something was going on, that Rav Bachana hadn't seen it properly, then Rav Yitzchak said, okay, so the original psach wasn't binding. Now I'm going to look at it literally with fresh eyes. And he looked at it and he said that it was tahor. Again, strange story. But the strangest part of the story is the part of the story that doesn't appear in the story itself. And that's what all the Rishonim was trying to figure out. Where was her husband? Where's Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman was the girl of Ador. Why wasn't he looking? Why was she running around for Rav Bechal looking around for Giza? One could simply say he was out of town. Again, possible. But the Rishonim don't say that. So Tosus on the spot is bought up with this kasha. What happened to her husband? So Kol Yomav Metali Kehagavna. And you get the impression from the Gemara that it wasn't just a one-time deal that she asked that maybe Rav Nachman was sick, he was away. But you get the impression that she would always ask a shaylas to Rav Bechal. So what does that mean? Mashma. It sounds from the Gemara that she didn't show the shaylas to her husband. V'shema lohoya baki. So she says the neighbor of Nachman wasn't a baki b'damim. Maybe he wasn't such an expert in Hilchos Nida in terms of looking at maros. Now we already know it's not derogatory about Rav Nachman. The Gemara already tells us in the second Berach of Nida, the sug is that there were certain Amoraim who refused to look at maros because they had trouble. They didn't feel they had such a bekit, they didn't have such an expertise. Again, this manazeb, you need a certain degree of training to look at Maharas, not like the days of the Gemara. The days of the Gemara, it was still, some of them were still discerning between different shades of red. So you needed a real super duper expert to be able to do that. So Rav Nachman was a great Tamachachim, he was one of the Gedolei Ador, but his expertise was not necessarily looking at Maharas. So that tells us first answer. Had the Yomer Rav Nachman, the problem is that Rav Nachman does speak about certain shalas of Dom that he had looked at. The Dom and Hakaza Kabbalah to be other. So there was a certain shayla that Rav Nachman was not in Rav Nida. And the Gemara, the Tosa says, oh, there must be he had a tradition about that kind of a shayla. He didn't necessarily have the expertise in all of Maris Dom. Inami, the Tosa says, a second fascinating answer. Haisa Cheshesh, Shema Yamachmir al Atzlo, Vios Livon Nokvo Porish, Lisbach al Chmosai. That Rav Yalto, his wife, was afraid. And if she'll show Rav Nachman the shayla, so maybe he'll be a little bit too machmir, maybe he'll be too nervous. If he's looking, you know, looking at his own shyness, so maybe psychologically, maybe it would be hard for him to pass him straight. So she felt that to ask him, not that she thought he would be to make up because it was his own, she thought that he would be to mach, because leave a note for him, he'd be a little bit too nervous to rely on any coolers that are perhaps legitimate coolers. So therefore she went to ask another Rav. Inatni. Those are searching. There's no idea. We have no idea what the facts were. The only fact we know is that she wasn't asking her husband. So first Tyson says maybe he didn't know, and then Tyson says that maybe he did know, but she was concerned to ask him. Inamish was tisgana befonov. So Tyson says maybe she felt it would be like it would make her look not so attractive to go show shyness and maris and some. So she thought maybe it would be a better idea for her to go show it to somebody else. So Tyson is not sure why what the mitzias is. There's got to be some mitzias reason where Nachman wasn't looking at the maris. And then Tyson says about ein loyva. Tosfos says the one conclusion that you should not draw is the following: the don't conclude that the reason why she didn't bring her husband to Shilas is because he was her husband, and namely, the person is not allowed to look at dumb of his own wife. Maybe one could have argued that the paskin, your own Shilas, the paskin for your own wife, you're like a nogeb adama. You have like an incentive, you're like an agenda. You're going to be, we don't trust you to look at the Shilas. The Tosfos says, forget it. That's the wrong conclusion to draw from the story. How do I know? The study says that's the wrong conclusion. It sounds like that's the easiest conclusion. It sounds like that's the simplest, most straightforward conclusion. The Tosfos says, just because it's the simplest doesn't mean it's correct. The Tosfos says it's wrong. Don't conclude that. Why? Because we have a Beferish of Mishnah that tells us otherwise. It's not as Beferish as we think it is, but we'll see in a moment. The Maseches Negoyim Tanan, Kol Negoyim Adam Roa Chutz Bidiki Atzmo. The din is in Huchas Taras, so a Kohen can look at anybody else's Negoyim, anybody else's Taras questions. You can't see your own. A Kohen is not allowed to pass it on his own Negoyim. In the Balik Musa always brought this and say, Kohen Negoyim or the Rochus Minigiatsmo. A Nega, obviously in the Mishnah means Nega Taras, but Nega also means like a character flaw, like a character trait. It's a problem. So Kohen Negoyim, a person sees everybody else's problems. I can tell. He's the Balgaiva, and he's the this, and he's the that. But Chutz B'nei Atzmo, myself, I see that I'm perfect. I can't see my own faults. Like, that's not what the Pshat in the Mishnah is, but it happens to be a true statement also. So the Mishnah says that you can look at somebody else's Negoyim, you can't look at your own Negoyim. But the Meir Un Aflo Nige Krovav, a person similarly cannot look at the Negoyim of his relative. Calling the Dorim of the Mat, and then the Mishnah continues, you could be Matir Nedir for anybody else. Chutz bin Nidre Atzmo, give me math to your own then. You can't ask yourself, well, if you would have known this, would you have said that? No, I wouldn't, okay. Then you turn around, look, that doesn't work. You have to go to somebody else. Rabbi Yeshua, Oma Afla Nidre Ishtar. Rabbi Yeshua says you can't be math to net for your wife either. And the sugi is in the dark, enough for them. But what's missing in that Mishnah, even though the Mishnah is listing off all the things, all the limitations on paskin and shadows and doing things for other people, you look kol adam vadimro chutz bin me ishtar loktani. There's no mention in that Mishnah of not looking at your wife's maris. So the implication of that Mishnah is that that's okay, that's fine. Therefore, Tosfos says the story of Rav Nachman is probably not indicative to the contrary. So why didn't Yalta show her shyness to her husband to Rav Nachman? Tosfos gave you half a dozen reasons. Mm-hmm. The husband wasn't a bucky, or maybe she was afraid he would be too nervous, or she was kind of fun, whatever the reasons are. But don't draw any halacha conclusion. You can't look at your wife's mouth. There is no such halacha, says Tosfos. But notwithstanding what Tosfos said, there are some Rishonim who drew the conclusion that Tosfos didn't want to draw. There's an opinion in Rishonim, albeit a minority view of Rishonim, that a husband that cannot look at his wife's shilas. And that's the reason why Yalta didn't bring the shilas to the Nachman. So if you take a look at the Rash, in Maseches Negoyim, the third of the Mount Komos, those who can see in that teeny-weeny print over there, I'm not sure myself is included, but we'll see what we can do. So the Rash and Negoyim on the Mishnah, the Mishnah that Tosfos quoted and spoke about not looking at your wife's tzaras and not the asked matter and the dog of your wife, Shema, Yesh Lechalik, and Hechad is Chazik Yisura, Lehechad below is Chazik Yisura. So the Rash says that maybe there's a difference. Sometimes you can look at your wife's shilas, and sometimes you can't. It depends. If the woman was what we call the Cheskes Heter, if a woman was Muteres, and now all of a sudden she gets a shaila, and we're trying to figure out, did her status change? Did she become a Asura? So you could look at that also. That's fine. Even a husband could look at that. And that's why the Gemara, the Mishnah doesn't say, ain't other Ro Maris Ishto. You can sometimes look at the Maris of your wife. But if she has a Cheskes Iser, if she was already a Nida, she was already a Asura, now she's trying to become Muteres, And now a shayla comes up, so that you have no right to look at, and the husband has to refrain. And that's why Yalta didn't show those particular shayla. She wouldn't show it to her husband, because she had what's called the cheska sisser. So an almost arbitrary distinction, that the Rash is trying to walk a tightrope. On the one hand, the Mishnah implies that you can look at your wife's shaylas. On the other hand, the Gemara tells a story about Yalta not showing her husband the shaylas. So rather than saying, Rav Nachman didn't know the din, and Rav Nachman was this, Rav Nachman was that, the Rash suggests, for real halachic concerns, Yalta did not show her husband the shaylas, because there is a difference between sometimes a woman can ask her husband, sometimes can't. If she has a cheskes isser, then she can't. If he does, she does have a cheskes isser, then she can. So Tosus is now trying to, the Rash is trying to give you a precedent for this, because it's almost an arbitrary distinction. It's what we call in learning true but irrelevant. I mean, okay, so there's a difference between cheskes isser and chesed, but why the world should that make a difference? So the Rash says, I'll bring you a proof that there is such a distinction in halacha. The ashkechon bereisha isha rabba, the mechalik abi erecha nevim bisurin, so the Gemara in Masechet Yevamos that Tosfos is referring to says as follows: we have a rule called Eidech and Bisurin. One witness is can testify to say the food is kosher, to say that the article of clothing doesn't have shatnez in it, to say that the mikvah is kosher. An Eidech is believed to say anything that's relevant is bad. An Eidech or one witness is not believed to be motzi mamot in the monetary case, not believed in capital punishment, not believed in marriage issues, but Nedechad is believed the Isurim. So the Gemara quotes one opinion that says that when is a Nedechad believed the Isurim, that's when it doesn't have a Cheskes Isur. If something is already Usur, and now we're trying to figure out, did that Isur change or not? So according to some opinions in the Gemara, Nedechad is not believed. So the Rash says, you see, just that there's a difference between whether we're trying to change the status quo or just simply maintain the status quo. So the Halacha says that to change the status quo, the level of Ne'emanus, the level of trustworthiness is higher. So to an uchus nida, if the woman is already muteres and we're just trying to figure out did anything change, anyone's believed, even the husband's believed. But if the woman is already a surah and we're trying to change that, then the husband wouldn't be believed. According to that view of the Rash would come out, that let's say a woman has a shalat by going to the mikvah. She wants to know, is this a chatzitza, not a chatzitza? So she asks her husband. So according to the Rash, she can't ask her husband. Because a woman going to the mikvah is a change in status. She's trying to create a change in her previous status. So the husband is puzzled. The husband's not acceptable. The husband wouldn't be believed to pass the shayla. In halacha, we don't follow this. The Rash, we follow the Shita Zatosis, that the whole thing is not true. That we never heard of such a thing. That if the husband knows the din, he's a trustworthy person, so he can't even be believed. So that's what we do today. Rabbanim answer the wife's shayla is going to the mikvah. They look at what Maharas and the wives today. Nobody that I know is follows this distinction of the Rash. So, getting back to the story we see from at least the Luke of this Gemara that the role of the Chacham, the role of the Rav who answers the Shaila, is critical, and there are even some Amoraim who weren't such Mekiyim in those halachas. But then the Gemara gives us another important principle concerning the guidelines that the Rav is supposed to use upon answering the Shaila and Chas Nida, the fourth of the Ramah Kavos, the Sanya. Lo Yomar Chacham Ilu Hayalacha Yavadei Tamei. It's a little bit of a response to what Eyud mentioned before. That let's say a Rav gets a shayla and holds it up, looks at it, and it looks like it's okay. But the shayla's old already. The shayla's been around already for a day or so. So he shouldn't make the following cheshbon. He shouldn't say, well, if I would have known, if I would have seen it when it was moist, I would have seen it when it first came out, so it would have been tamei. So you're not allowed to do that. He asked that we follow the rule, Ein Dayan El Mash Ein Evros. He asked the Paskin Shah the way it is. Actually, you know, Ruach HaKadosh, or would have been, could have been, should have been. If right now it looks like it's Tahor, so then it's Tahor. You're not mechuyav to go back in history. Now again, this doesn't mean the woman should wait a week until she brings the Shailas. She should try to bring the Shailas as soon as she can. But if and when the Rav gets it, so he doesn't have to make a cheshbin that, well, a week, 3 days ago it would have looked differently. If it looks to him like it's Mutar, Ein Dayan El Mash Ein Evros. So the Shach, the next page, quotes a major discussion in the Toskim, what are the ramifications of the Mice of that statement? The Kosov of Bach. Bach says that when do we make that statement that he's going on the state in the Shulchan Aruch that yellowish colors are permissible? Kosov of Bach, Tahinu Kishen Nisha Yarok with Chilos of Yatzofo. If the Rav looks at a shayla and sees it's yellow from beginning to end, So then it's okay. It was yellow at first, now it's yellow later. Says if you have a kesem that when it dries, it begins to take on a reddish look. When it came out, it was more of a yellowish. Now when it dries, it has on the edges, the edges of the mara start to look reddish. So even if there's a very, very small amount, this is what becomes tricky when you look at a bdika cloth. But we learned earlier that if you look at a kesem, if it's stain, so then it's only a problem if it has a gris, if it has a penny's worth of red in it. When you look at a bdika cloth, even the smallest amount is a problem. So sometimes you'll have a shiloh where the rav looks at it and he says, that's yellow, it's fine. He looks at it again first. And he says, wait a second. If you look really, really carefully, the halo, the edges of the mara have a little bit of a reddish tinge to it. So we assume that that's a problem. So the Bach writes that even though when it first came out it was all right, but now when it's dried, it starts to look more problematic. So that's the problem. Shenekam and Agufu Lach of Anasi Yeruk. Shenish Yavish Chaz Lamara Tzasha Adam and Chila. V'lochein. So therefore, the Bach says because the maras tend to change, tend to get a little bit worse. If somebody brings a white or a yellow shiloh to the Rav, the odolach, and if it's still wet, you shouldn't pass it on until it dries. So the Bach just threw a chumrah. He said that normally we think the shiloh comes to the Rav, that you just look at it the way it is and finish. So the Bach says, no, what that means is as follows. You don't go back in time. Namely, you don't say, well, now it's Tuesday. If I would have seen it on Sunday, it would have been a problem. Because then, well, you can't turn the clock back. So you have to pass it the way it is. But what the Rav can do and should do is if he looks at it on Tuesday and says, well, let me think what it'll look at tomorrow morning. So let's wait until tomorrow. Let's wait and see. So if it comes to you, it's already dry, it's not, probably not going to change drastically. But if it's still wet, she just did the bedika 5 minutes ago, and she brings it too wet, if you wait it out a little bit, it may change colors. So the Bach said you're supposed to wait it out. Says the Shafi ain Nogin Kane. Says that practice is not this way. We're not mechuyev to think that there are problems. It's going to happen, should happen, will change, did change. Yeah. The rabbi gets a shayla. If it's mutter, it's mutter. If it looks mutter the way it is now, then it's mutter. You don't have to say what it would have been, you don't have to say what it will be. If it looks mutter, then it's mutter. That's generally the way we do things also today. Sometimes the Rav can't tell. Sometimes Dacha, we'll see in a moment about the different lightings. Sometimes it's difficult to tell. So okay, if you can't tell, then you have to wait. So you have to bring it to another person. We have to wait for better lighting. And sometimes things change. You have to get a better look at it. But if the Rav is convinced that it's mutter, so then you're not mechuyev to make cheshbon as well. Let's wait it out a few hours to see when something changes to become also. You should just look at it and then throw it out.
You don't have to wait for it to dry.
So we assume you don't have to wait to dry. The Bach said you had it with the shot, said, I don't think the dry one today wait for it to dry.
Does the converse at all? Can it ever be that it might look austere and that the rub waits potentially?
Yeah. So it'll depend. That gets very, very tricky. So we're going to talk a little bit about the lights. That's what we're going to talk about. The reason why usually a rub will wait is because the lighting is not good. We'll talk about that in a moment. So now the sixth of the Marmakamos. So the Gemara says, "Did the Chavam of Days gives you some of the guidelines that the Rav is supposed to look at as to how he's supposed to look at the Mara." So Amar Rav Ami Bar Shmuel, "V'kulan ein bokin osan ela ben chama l'tzel." So you're supposed to look at the Mara not in the absolute bright, shiny light. On the other hand, you're not supposed to look at it in dark. So you look at it ben chama l'tzel, like somewhere in between, a little bit of sunlight, a little bit of shade, like shading the sun a little bit. You can look at it in the sun, but you make a little bit of a shade with your hand. So otherwise, if the light is too bright, it also can sometimes take away from the proper looking at it. So you look at it in the daylight. It's fairly light outside, but you're covering a little bit, so you get a little bit of shading and looking at the Mara. So the Mara gives you this very, very precise guidelines how to look at Maras. So the seventh of the Marmakamos. So the Sefer Teres HaShlom, Teres HaShlom is one of the Perushim in the bottom of your day in Uchus Nida. So Teres HaShlomim comments that if you look around at Rabbanim today, many Rabbanim don't do this. Many Rabbanim don't sit with the lights, with the sun, with the angles, with the shades, with the hands, the whole Maiselach. Many people don't do that. What's going on? So the Teres HaShlom explains why. So it does. Shlom v'ayt. We say loshen atur. The Torah chamisha dam t'meir be'ishav esulo. Ve'idna shenismayta be'kios. Torah writes that today that our expertise is not so good. He's quoting from his father. Chazu l'tamos kol sheyesh b'mar adam. We've said already several times that b'zman hazeh already for well over 1,000 years that practice is. If it has a reddish tint to it, we assume that it's a problem. V'nirali says it to us. Shlom. Because of this chumrah, this din, this chashash, whatever you want to call it, that already the days of the Gaonim had, that we're very, very weary, we won't be retired, things b'zman hazeh, unless they're clearly not read. Because of that chumrah, lo hetik atur v'b'chaber, keitzad yinag ha'chochem atzol l'ros dam nida. He says, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, look at the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote this Gemara. They don't quote anywhere that you have to look at a mara, dafka with the sun, dafka with the shade, dafka with your hands covering the sun, dafka making shade. That whole line in the Gemara is absent from the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch. They don't speak about the Hadibra Amdam Balayla. They don't talk about looking at blood at night. The Lassos Tzel Diyad Wal Adam. They don't talk about covering your hand over the, make a shadow. Kibbevu Abbasop Rechel Yad, the Gemara that we just went. V'chein, Kosav Harama Perkei Mechus Yisur, even though that din is quoted in Allah, there is such a din. So how come this din got lost in the shuffle? Mishum says this to us, the Shlomim, V'l'didon enoto elamara lovaviyara. See, b'zman hazeh, the only thing we're being mocked there is white and yellow, basically, yellow-brown, whatever, the very, very, so to speak, far colors that are more distant than actual red. Says the Torah Sashom, v'zeh in tzorach iyun v'diktuk heteg. He said, you don't need such an expertise, b'zman hazeh, to look at Maris today. It's not to look at Maris as it was in the old days. Ki b'kal yochav ha'afchim kol zeh. He said, it's much easier to tell whether something is yellow, whether something is red. He's not saying that anybody can do it, but you need much less training to do this. You need much less expertise. So to do it, b'zman hazeh, l'chein b'chol inyan she'yirtzeh chacham yochal liros de'letar o'matama. So therefore, b'zman hazeh, you don't have to be so careful. If it's sunny, if it's not so sunny, if it's not so shady, not so with your hands, if it looks like it's yellow, it looks like it's white, it looks like it's brown, if it looks like it's a mara tohar, so then it's okay. And all the chumras of the Gemara have looked at in a very, very specific manner, don't apply b'zman hazeh, because the standards that we're using with b'zman hazeh are much more chumra than they were in the olden days. So in the olden days, when they looked at maras, which was so close, and the discerning was so much more, was a finer line, so then the Gemara has all these chumras, you have to make sure that you're looking at it with a precise type of light and shade. B'zman hazeh, we're a little bit more makel about this. That's explained to Minhag HaOlam as to how we look at Maros B'zman hazeh. It's based on this idea also that the Badia Shulchan, the Shulchan is rough today, Chayvel Kohn, he has a comment in Uchas Nida, the eighth of the of the Marmikomos, where the Pasha's Advarim is that you're not supposed to look at Maros at night. The Gemara says you're supposed to look with Cham Tzel. At night there's no Cham, no Tzel, there's nothing. So you can't look at Maros at night. So the Badia Shulchan quotes V'nei B'sefer Pradis Yirmolim and Eidin Ramakam it's Heir Bazeh Shlo Ro Lebal Yaro Shiyun Yishore Bazeh Shlo Lifsuk Alamar Balaylo. He says that we don't find that Rabbanim are careful not to look at Maris at night. Rabbanim look at Maris at night all the time. So this is a little bit more problematic because the Ramo himself wrote not to look at things at night. The Ramo already was only 40 years ago, so the Ramo wasn't in the days of the Gemara. But the Ramo himself said at night you should stay away from looking. So how come in the last 400 years some of things changed, that we're willing to look at things at night also? So Bia Sham, so in the Sefer Paris Ramon, he explains, the Ramo kosel hachav zeh le'isha atzva, she'ena b'kiyah kol kach b'mara. He says, when the Ramo says not to look at colors at night, the Ramo wasn't talking about the Rav. He's talking about the woman who did the bedikah. The woman checks herself, and now she checks herself, she doesn't have sigdara, she doesn't moch, she takes it out, and it's already dark. By the time she's looking at it, it's dark outside. So the Ramo says she should wait till tomorrow. The Ramo writes, when the woman takes out the moch, she should put it away, put it in a bag, wait till tomorrow morning to look at it, not to look at it at night. So the Pardes Rimonim suggests that the Ramo was arguing that the woman, she's not the Bekiah in Maros, she's not trained to look at Maros, so for her to look at something at night is a little bit shaky. Who liked the Balachal Tos and Tidur Balayla. But if you have a Rav who knows what he's doing, he says, nah. He says the Ramo would permit, the Ramo would let you look at Maris even at night as well. Then the Badashul goes on, he says, but guess what? There are some women who themselves look at their own Maris. If it's a complicated child, then obviously they send it to Rav, but say a ballpark, something which is fairly simple to look at. So they look at their own questions, they know what they're doing. In a Nashim Atzman, Yeshinogos Kayom, Shema Ainos Mochdochuk Shalapsik Tarosa, the Mocher Babokir. There are some women who, when they do their Hefsik Tara, they check themselves before they begin Shemit Kiyam, and then when they do their Moch, so then they'll take the Moch and put it away in a bag and save it till the next morning to look at. So there's some who follow what the Ramah says, that don't look at the Maris at night. But there are some women who are not mapping this. They'll do the Hefsik Tara, they'll do the Moch, they'll take a look at it in the light. That looks okay. They know what they're doing. It looks okay. And they'll throw it out and show it. And they violate this principle of the Ramah. They'll look at Maris at night. So what's going on? So before the Ramah was willing to be makil, that the Chacham, the Rav, could look at Maris at night, but the Ramah himself said the woman for sure can't. So what's changed since the days of Ramah? Something has changed since the 1500s till 2016. What has changed? So the Baal Shem is about to tell exactly what changed. The man's name, Thomas Edison, has changed. That's what's changed. So he says, Amnam she'enim ha'bi'ol zeh, el ma'ayinus be'abal ha'el, u'chanire ha'tam lezeh, the Baal Shem says it would appear that the reason is, she'leish she'yesh l'smoch v'lomah she'or ha'chashmal yofeh gamken v'dika v'odif me'or ha'ne'er. So the Ramah was talking about in Krakow in Poland in the 1500s. Look at a mara at night, you're looking at candlelight. So you try to look, go take a havdalah candle. Go try to look at a mara by a little irritant candle or something. So that's what the Ramah was saying. That's a bad idea. Wait till the morning. So if it's banazah, why look at ortoyer? It's all lit up in the house. It's great, wonderful lights. So it's great. So that's what's changed. It's banazah. So the shulchan is giving almost no pun intended, a green light to the women are looking, to the rabbanim zikha looking. You can look at maras in the electric light. Electric light is just as good.
But you said the Gemara was talking about that it shouldn't be too bright also right? That was
right.
So some of the lights today...
We'll get into our lights. So the later post have been O'Rear, that even though make Iker Adin, you could really use electric lights, and that's what the minhag seemed to be, and the Baal Shulchan is sanctioning that minhag, one has to be very careful, because not all electric lights are the same, that some electric lights, many electric lights, will actually throw off the color a little bit, depending on the kind of light. Here, there's an important distinction that the post with a little bit of experimentation, shows that we call them almost the old style light, the incandescent bulb, the regular old bathroom lights, which people usually look at. So the incandescent bulbs so tend to make things look worse. Things tend to look a little bit redder. I've seen it many, many times where I look at a mara at night at a regular old bulb, and it doesn't look so good. And I'll say, listen, I'm not sure. I'm not saying for sure. So wait till the morning. The morning looks much better. So you have to be careful. Certain bulbs make things look much worse. On the other hand, other bulbs tend to make things look better. The fluorescent bulbs tend to make everything look a little bit better. So now you have to walk a tight line. So if you, bottom line is like this. If a shayla comes that doesn't have to be paskin today, and it's a close call. You really can't tell. Maybe what the shayla doesn't. We'll talk about the mitzvah tonight. Wait till tomorrow. So the shayla is not pressing right now. So and it's a close call. Shayla, it's better not to look at it night. Better not to play games with the bulbs. Wait till tomorrow when you take a look. If the shayla is really, really pressing, it's got to go to the mikvah. So it's got to be mamshu decision right now. So the rav has to kind of play it by ear to try to see is this. The light is somewhere between the incandescent and fluorescent. Try to play and see what it would look like. There are some rabbanim who very much like there are certain bulbs that they imitate daylight.
The new LED bulbs.
Yeah, they haven't been ready for years. They're the old ones that stick them to the wall and they're supposed to mimic sunlight. I have one. I tell you that I don't even use it because I don't find that it's like so fantastic. I usually use the same guidelines. If I could wait tomorrow, I'd wait tomorrow. My mom have to do it on the spot, so then I'll figure out. The reason it has to do more with laziness than halacha, the reason why I stopped using it was, I used to use it when I lived in Paramus, I used to use it sometimes, because it's regular light, but we just screwed it into a thing. So my closet in Paramus, the top one's the tall closet, so it was very easy. I didn't have to plug it in on a chair. I would just plug it in. Now in Birmingham, my closet is a little, my room is a little bit higher, so it gets a little bit lazier. That's not a very good reason not to use it. But I just found that after using it a few times, I wasn't like so enamored. Some of them really swear by it, and I wasn't so overly excited about it.
But does it ever change over time?
Yeah, it does. It tends to get brown. Things tend to get better over time, usually. Usually, so things, but you don't want to wait it up too long.
Is it permitted to wait?
If you're not sure, if you know what the din is, you have to pass. You know, I'll tell you just we'll stop.